So Randy Cross, great to see you again.
Good to see you. Haven't seen you in... Well, I see you around town.
You've seen me around, but like you and I, when I was first starting at WSU, I was a young guy. We worked together a decent amount. Mm-hmm. I was at the Officer Research.
Right.
They wanted to do a training program on multiple campuses, and you did our video conferencing back end.
The WeCan system.
The WeCan system. And I like in the era of Zoom and video conferencing today, it seems almost quaint.
Oh,
but
it does.
For the time, it was cutting edge.
Yeah.
And what you guys set us up for was so slick and so high quality. It was just, I have a lot of happy memories.
People remember me a lot from rolling TVs with the camera on top of it all over campus.
Okay, so funny story. I'm pretty sure I have a couple of your carts in here right now.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There was one Polycom system that I saw out at Surplus. I swear it was there for 10 years.
Right.
And gradually, pieces of it would get sold off until all that was left was the cart.
Right.
And I bought the cart, and I'm turning it into a teleprompter rig.
They were good carts. I mean,
high quality.
They were. Yeah. Well, they had to. I was putting those big Sonys on them and rolling them everywhere. Yep. So, a couple of times coming down off of the hill, like I'd do something at the Cub, and I'd be like yelling at a student, "Hey, can you get in front of me? Because I'm afraid I'm going to lose that going down that stupid
hill." Oh man, we've all pushed carts up that hill.
Oh yeah.
A little sketchy.
Yes,
there in front of the ITP building. So the name of the series is All Roads Lead to Pullman. I love our community. And one of the things I love about it is that everyone is here for a reason. Nobody drifts through Pullman. No one accidentally comes to Pullman. You're either here to get a degree, start a job, start a company, and then you put down roots and it becomes home.
Right.
And so I love hearing people's stories about what brought them to Pullman. I've never asked you, how did you end up here on the Palouse?
And this is a different kind of story, maybe a long kind of story. I'm retired Army.
I got time.
And we thought that when I put in my paperwork for retirement, maybe I should start and explain there, because a lot of people, they'll look at my bio and they say 18 years, 8 months. How did you retire? Because you didn't do 20 from the Army. And when...
Oh, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Well, when the military is in, especially the Army, is involved in an action, they build up.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
When it ends, they draw down.
Yep.
And sometimes they draw down by releasing people, and sometimes they give them offers like, you can either retire early with full benefits or do some lengthy re-enlistment. And it was when we turned over Bosnia to the United Nations. They called me and they says, you can either retire now with full benefits or re-enlist for 6 years.
And you went the retired option.
Well, they said, put in the paperwork and we'll see. Okay. I put in the paperwork, got approval. And we were at Kelly Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, and thought we were going to live in San Antonio, Texas, and everything was happy. And a month later, I got orders for Korea.
Oh, my goodness.
And
this was in, what, the early 90s?
It's 97.
97, okay.
Yep. So,
wow.
And I called them and said, hey, you know, I'm retiring. You already approved it. I'm retiring in less than a year. And they're like, not
if you don't go to Korea. The Pentagon said, never mind.
No, they said, not if you don't go to Korea.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So.
Oh, it was a conditional.
So, well, it was, it's along the lines of, if you don't take the assignment, you can't have favorable actions.
Yeah.
Retiring is a favorable action. And very favorable, in my opinion. And my wife worked for the University of Texas at San Antonio. And we were trying to figure out finances, the family, me living in Korea, her living in San Antonio. And her boss said, hey, there's this great opportunity at this place called Washington State University. She flew up here, did an interview.
Hmm.
They offered her the job, and we did this coming out of San Antonio.
Oh my goodness!
I went to Korea, and she came to WSU. And so it's
So
when people ask how long have you lived here,
that is different. That is a different road to Pullman.
When people ask you how long have you lived here, we always give a different answer, because she got here in October, and I got here the following March. There's a year change in the middle.
Right. Right.
So she'll go, oh, we've been here for 28 years, and I'll go, no, it's 27. I'm pretty sure it's 28.
We have been here for 27.
Yeah.
You've been here for
28. You've been here for 28, yes. So when I retired, I came back to, you know, to meet my family. And it was the first time in many years, she always talked about this, that in the military, when you move, the service member goes first, sets up the house, brings the family. So she was stuck with what I'd set up. This time she got revenge. And she picked me up at Pullman Airport, and I got in the driver's seat and got to the end of the entrance and went, okay.
Where do I go?
Where do I go from here?
Which narrow two-lane drive do I go down?
Yep.
With no city in sight?
So that was very fun.
Well, what were your first impressions of Pullman back in 1998?
Different coming out of Korea at the time, because I was in Busan, which is the southern port city. It's very large compared to anything around here, even Seattle. I mean, so, and much cleaner.
Yeah.
I had been to the area before, but on the west side. I'd never been on the east side of the state, and I was, you know, let's see. I started work at WSU the day after I retired from the Army.
Wow.
And what been the other set? It was called WETS back then.
Okay, and yeah.
ETT, Educational yeah. Telecommunications. And
so it was early video conferencing run by the IT department, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I worked there for just over a year. And Connors was like, extensions not being serviced. We don't have enough people at a lot of these county places for a full-blown.
Yeah, so the agriculture school wanted to have its own video conferencing.
And
network.
Wanted somebody with ideas.
Okay.
And I interviewed for it, and Scott Fidel hired me, and you know a lot of the rest. I mean, the weekend system was considered very popular.
Yeah, well, and it was a rival to the WETS system, right?
To an extent, I think the biggest competition was we were approached out of Connors they were called INRA, the Inland Northwest Research Alliance. They wanted to do earthquake studies, and they wanted to do it over a consortium of universities. But they didn't want to pay a lot of infrastructure costs. They didn't want to, you know, put up satellites. They didn't want to have high expensive ISDN lines coming in. And I approached them with the weekend system, and I did that for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Which was, you know, twice a week doing these, connecting all these universities. We had Alaska, we had Montana, we had Utah. It was it was fun.
And really cutting edge for its time.
At that time, yes.
Yeah.
Now you look back and you go, how quaint. Yeah, as you said, you look back and go, wow, I had to have all that equipment.
Sure. But I'm guessing that it was more than just the jobs that kept you and your wife here.
Oh, I love Pullman. I love Pullman. It's a great place to raise a family.
Yeah,
I learned that. And having been stationed in several places around the world, I had things to compare it to. I'm originally from Michigan. My wife's originally from Georgia. And been stationed in California, Louisiana, Texas, Germany, Belgium, Korea. I mean, so had some reference points, and it's a nice place. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a safe place to raise a family.
Yeah.
Generally, we don't have a lot of crime. I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, the blotter report used to be the funniest thing you could read every day.
It still kind of is. Especially, hey, the day especially they caught, on mom's weekend.
The day they caught the kegger in the back of the U-Haul truck doing circles around town. That was funny. And you're going, and it's the lead blog report. You're going, okay, I'm in the right town. It's not too overbearing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its issues. Every town has its issues. But for the most part, I mean, we've talked about it. There's no place we'd much rather live.
Yeah. Likewise. I moved around a lot as a youngster, you know, lived in the city, lived in the country, close to the coast and the mountains and all that. And I came here and I went, oh, this checks all the boxes. Mm-hmm. So we've never left. Been here 25 years. So, but we also acknowledge that our community isn't perfect and everyone's running for city council for a reason. What's your reason? What made you want to run for Ward 1?
That's actually a very difficult question, because it's actually a lot of small reasons that rolled into one. One is my kids, because they've been harassing me to run for public office for years. They wanted me to run for mayor last time, and I kept telling them, I just don't have the time. In my philosophy that, like, mayor and stuff like that, it's a part-time job, but it takes more than a part-time.
It's a full-time job with part-time pay.
Right.
Yeah.
And city council's along those lines.
Definitely not in it for the money.
Right. Along the same lines. I'm close to retirement. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. I don't know anything about city council as far as, I'm sure the job has more differences than I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I figure I've got a little bit of time left at WSU. That's where I learn it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the term is when I do it, because then I'm not working at WSU.
Well, we'll circle back around to what city council does, but what prompted you to run?
Right. So that, now I'm there. I was getting there.
Awesome.
Main thing, I think we're too partisan.
Huh.
The biggest problems that I see in a lot, not just Coleman, but in a lot of things, is that people don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
They'll look at you and they'll say, if you're this side or that side, I won't even listen to you. Mm-hmm. And you miss a lot of results. You miss a lot of answers mm-hmm. when you don't think outside your box, mm-hmm. not the box, your box.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, just like everybody else, I have opinions on things. And my wife looked at me and she says, you always talk about how to fix it. This is a chance to actually work on it.
Cool.
And I thought, yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And then reeled myself in and tell everybody, I have no agenda. I'm not coming in with an agenda. A lot of questions people might say I'm hedging them, but it's because I don't want to. I'm not here to promote Randy Cross's version of Pullman. I'm here to promote my constituents or my ward's version of Pullman. And sometimes they may have an area that's like way down my totem pole as far as what I think is important, but they think it's important. So now it moves up my line.
Yeah.
And now I'm dealing on that instead of what I might think. So you got to put the personal aspect aside. You can affect change, but it's not for you. It's for the city.
Yeah. You said we're very partisan. I think if I was to comment in a similar way, I would say things have been divisive. I don't know if they've been necessarily partisan, because it seems like very little at the city council level goes into a firm red versus blue category.
Oh, and partisan covers more than just policy.
So unpack that for me.
It's literally across the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, it's politics. It's red versus blue. It's north versus south. It's racial. It's demographics. It's societal and where you live and how much money you make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't care if you're the mayor or one of my kids that's just old enough to vote. Well, all of my kids are way old enough to vote. You should have the same weight in a subject.
Okay.
And that's not the case.
Yeah. So what's an example of that?
Probably a good example right now, and this is one that it's one of my top areas, is affordable housing. I honestly think we don't have enough affordable housing, but there are a lot of people in other areas that think we have plenty. And it's like, we have plenty of housing, but a lot of it's not affordable.
Yeah.
I look at when I moved here, and you're probably in the same boat. When I moved here, just out of military, I already had 4 kids. And I was able to buy a house that fit my family of 6. Same situation, just take what I was making then, ramp it up in today's dollars, wouldn't even be close. And I would be struggling to find an apartment big enough. Mm-hmm. So affordable housing is one where, and people don't want to talk eye to eye on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's probably a good area.
Very relevant issue, and it's a national issue in a lot of ways.
Well,
but here on the Palouse, I mean, we have a little bit of a unique situation because of our demographics, because of our geography, but supply and demand is the same everywhere.
Right.
We don't have enough houses to keep costs low.
And I don't know if this will get me in trouble or not, but I always say that we have the University on the Hill. It's a large university, mm-hmm. and it masks a lot of things.
Mm.
In the sense of, it depends on when you look at the city, too. If you look at the city in October, you may think, oh, we have a shortage of housing, not just affordable housing, but housing. But then you look at it in right now, late July, you go, oh, we got plenty. There's lots of open housing out there, because it is, because the students aren't here.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the university definitely skews some things.
Right.
At least the typical use case of a town our size.
Yes. Yeah. And it hides some things that you won't look at because the university just overlaps in such a way.
So what would you like to see happen when it comes to affordable housing in Poland?
Well, first thing, so it's a twofold thing. Because there's not just affordable housing. To me, it's coupled right now with our infrastructure. Transportation is a big one. A lot of the houses that are being built and a lot of the apartments that are being built are on the north end of town. And there hasn't been any road put out there that I can remember. I mean, Terra View's been extended, but backwards and deeper into it, and not in such a way. So if there's no convenience store, there's no gas stations, there's nothing over there to allow people to meet their needs without coming into the town. And then there's only two main roads to come into town. So the first thing would be to look at where you're putting it, because that's gonna help some of the, because if I'm putting something where I've got enough infrastructure to support it, that'll help keep some of the costs down. The other thing is to work with the builders, work with the city on where you're zoning things and what kind of housing you're putting in. It's a tough one at the city council level, because you're one person out of seven, and all you can do is make your constituents' voice be heard.
Sure.
And I have done several events, and that is the number one thing people keep asking me about is
affordable housing.
Mainly that one, because they're talking about rent going up, especially since the pandemic. Going up, it's like 30% since 2020.
Wow.
And that's kind of a big chunk.
That's huge. That's huge. And a hardship for a huge percentage of our community.
Right.
So at the in the city council role, what do you feel like are some practical policy steps can be taken to address these issues?
This is where my novice part comes in.
It's okay. It's okay.
A lot of it is learning it. One thing that I like to do is research.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. As I was just approached, I was approached at one of these events by somebody who was like, can we do composting for the businesses, and how would it benefit and help people and stuff like that? And the first thing I did is, do we have a composting policy?
That's a good question.
Do we have a composting law at the state level?
Yeah.
And start researching there. And then, so the first thing is to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a policy decision? Depends, because there's areas where you'll say, oh, I want to do this, but you're hamstrung by state, federal, or even county that you can't affect. I mean, you can bring it in, bring it up as something to discuss, but you don't have the ability within the city council to make a change.
Right.
Because it's got to be done like at the state level.
Of course.
So first things first is to see what, well, and this goes back to the agenda. I don't want to put my spin on what I want to fix. I love Pullman. The thing I want to keep is, I want to keep its charm. I want to keep its safety. I want to keep it as an inviting place for people like you and I to stay at. So I don't have this approach of, what do I need to fix on my side? Now I'll sit down and do open forums and stuff and find out what the constituents want me to fix.
Yeah.
Then I research it and bring it to the county. The city council.
Makes sense. What are some things in, let's just say, the last 5 years that you go?
Oh, I'm doing that because I hang my glasses there. And I'm like, let me move my glasses to the table.
No problem. There. What are some things that have happened over the last 5 years in our community that you're like, man, I wish we could have handled that differently?
Downtown.
tell me about
that. I think that the businesses were not enough involved, but that's a personal thing. Getting into the budgets and seeing how that was done. Downtown needed to be fixed, but I don't know that it was addressed the right way. It looks beautiful and stuff like that, but now we have too many empty stores,
sure.
Storefronts.
Yeah.
And coming out of the pandemic into that big of a project hurt a lot of businesses. That's probably the biggest one, is to really focus on how to revitalize that downtown.
Yeah.
It looks great. Now, how do we
bring
more people into it?
Absolutely.
One of the things is, I just saw, it's like last week, Thursday, I mean, they're starting the Music on the Mall again on Pine Street. that's going to help. But getting it ramped back up, because that was the pandemic kind of shut a lot of things down.
Oh, and so many regular events are just muscle memory. You get out of the rhythm of it. It's so hard to start back up.
And that's just it, is we haven't started them back up. So that's probably the biggest one, is the way, and it's not just Pullman.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And there's some really great groups working on things like events. Right. You know, I mean, really, if you want to see events come back up, volunteering for the chamber might be might be a good place to start.
But I look at things like it's muscle memory, but then there's a clamor for it, because the Moscow Farmers Market's a great example. Yeah. It got hurt really bad by the pandemic, but when the pandemic started easing up, people were like, out of everything else, bring this back, bring this back.
Yeah.
And it's made a great change down there.
The farmer's market's amazing, right? The Moscow Farmer's Market also didn't happen by itself quickly.
Oh, no.
You know, I was a U of I student from 2000, 2004, and people don't believe me. Back then, Moscow's downtown looked like our downtown
today.
Yes,
it did.
It was dead. And we had record enrollment at U of I during those days. As students, we never went downtown.
No.
Never. Like,
and you were closer than we are.
Why would you, right?
Right.
So when I look at the change that's happened in Moscow, it actually gives me hope for Pullman, because it is possible if the right decisions are made, but also just being real about what our limitations are and not trying to copy another community, because there's no cut and paste.
No cut and paste. But one thing that Moscow did a good job of, and I've talked to people here about that, is they did a good job of eliminating the us and them mentality. It wasn't UI and Moscow.
Yeah.
It was
their
town-county
relationship got stronger.
It became a community.
Yeah.
And a lot of questions I get here, you can still feel this. Totally. So what do we do with the people on the hill?
Totally.
What people on the hill?
We're all just Pullman.
Right. We're all one community, and start treating it that way.
Yeah. Well, and with the new presidential administration up in French Ad, I think there's a real opportunity here to build some of those inroads. I would actually say that we saw progress under Kirk Schultz. You know, not everything went perfect there, but there was more. When College Game Day came in, you know, was it 2018? We saw more collaboration between the city and the university than we had for decades.
Well, and then the pandemic hit.
Correct. So we lost some momentum.
And that affected a lot more. Yeah, but that affected a lot more than people.
For sure.
Really?
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, I going back to downtown, I was fairly involved in that, just with the work that I was doing for Welsh Comer. And I got to see a lot of things up close. And I keep running into misconceptions about what was going on behind the scenes. In your opinion, just observing from where you're at, what could we have done better to help get Pullman and the downtown businesses through that transition? How could we have handled things better on the budget side and the communication side?
I don't know as much on the budget side.
Okay. You just mentioned budget earlier.
So yeah, I didn't understand how.
Right. I just wanted to give you a chance to say something.
But on the communication side, there were signs that said businesses were still open, but it wasn't, I don't think it was effective enough, because when you put a sign at the end of Main Street and Grand Avenue that says businesses are still open, and I go, really? It doesn't, I mean, there was nothing else there that says businesses are still open, parking on Paradise, parking on,
I mean, there were signs that talked about parking,
but not there where you're.
Well, it's pretty hard to counter the visual of an active construction site.
Oh yeah.
Right. No way to mask that.
But there was not enough effect. I'm just saying there was not enough effective communication for people coming in to know, hey, all of these businesses are accessible on the back streets or where you can park at.
Okay.
So
what could we have done to better bridge that gap?
That's a good question. It really is.
I mean, hindsight's too late now.
Yeah. Hindsight's not always 2020, because
sometimes it gets a little fuzzy.
Right. Yeah. A little fuzzy. Better communication is the, I mean, and they tried, there was a lot of communication that went out, but it's, a lot of that is also affected by people coming in.
Sure.
And it was over a long period of time.
And let's just face it, a lot of people just chose to stay home.
Right.
Right? They never even got to Triangle Alley or Pine Street Plaza. They're just like, well, I'm just going to avoid downtown.
Yep.
You know, no amount of communication fixes that.
Right. And it's there was communication helps, but it's not going to fix it.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. And you had a mindset coming out of the pandemic. I've just gone through
right.
however long of
felt like a
isolationism.
Yeah.
And now you're asking me to not just come out, but come even further out than I normally would because of the situation. And now I'm just going to stay home.
Yeah.
So that's what I said. That's a tough question. Mm-hmm. Could we, I don't even know if we actually could have done anything better under the circumstances.
I think that's fair.
I mean, under the circumstances, as far as communicating with the community and stuff like that, yeah. I mean, I got the flyers, I saw it on the news that things were still open, but when you would come downtown and get rerouted
yeah.
to the backside.
When you can no longer park right in front of B&L bikes like you're used to.
Well, and it, coming around that, like Paradise, when it was routed around Paradise, the signage in the back is not as prominent as it is in the front.
Yeah.
So you don't even realize that you're going by B&L bicycles.
Well, and so much of it's habit, right?
Yeah.
You know, you instinctively know where the businesses are because you've been frequenting them for 10, 15 years.
Right.
It's a disruption to habit. It's always going to be less than 100%.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. The downtown project's interesting for me because you know, it was a lot of work for that 1 year, and I'm very proud of the work we did, and I know that we didn't do everything perfectly. But being in the room where the decisions were being made and seeing how the sausage was made
right.
really gave me a glass half full view on things because I was amazed at just how few projects like this even open the sidewalks to begin with.
Right.
It's not normal, right? We kept the sidewalks open for the entire 9 months of construction. Most construction companies would just insist on shutting down the street entirely. That's what's normal in the industry.
Right. Especially if you've got access from the back.
Exactly. Exactly. And we shut it down for hours here and there and, you know, a day at a time in a few places. And I don't think people quite understand what a feat of coordination that was. Like that was a lot of work.
Right. And most people will never know.
Yeah.
That's the other side of it is that most people don't yeah. know what went into the downtown project.
Right.
They just know it disrupted things.
It was definitely disruptive. And my hat's off to anyone who's operating a business downtown.
Cause right.
It was not easy.
I always come back to the same one. I'm like, Brew's Books is still there.
Hey, amen.
Something must have been done right. Work. They yep. are still there.
Yep. Love that. Love that. What's your vision for Pullman? Where do you see this town going? And what key things does Pullman need to do to get there?
Well, I already said one of my key goals is to keep the charm.
Yeah. And what does that mean, the charm?
Pullman is an inviting place. I mean, you feel welcome when you come here. And you don't want to create any kind of an atmosphere that can disrupt that. And you feel welcome on the campus. You feel welcome. It's a safe community, too. One of the things that to help keep things like that going that I think people we need to get back to is like with new student orientation and where somebody moves here, put them on our public transit system. We got one of the best in the area.
Yes.
And
transit is fantastic.
But that'll also help open up the community to
sure
make
more ways to get from College Hill down to downtown.
Right. And show them this is how you get to downtown. This is how you get to the airport now because they've got the airport run with the bus system. But to make it feel like it's more inclusive, that we're no longer it's Pullman,
yeah,
and Washington State University is just like Schweitzer or Rosars. It's a feature.
It's an employer in town.
It's a feature of yeah. the city. I mean, it's a feature that gives you some benefits that you may not have in other small towns of this size. I mean, where else can you get fireworks in the middle of July that are not on the 4th? Because we hit a home run.
There we go.
So, you know, there's features that you get with the university, but don't make it an us and them.
Yeah.
Make it a one community and strive to make it a one community. And that means, yes, it does mean doing more partnerships with the university, but including them in the thought process. I brought up the compost thing earlier. I'm going to circle back to that is, I don't know what we could set up for the businesses, But I imagine the entomology department on WSU has some ideas and probably have some students that would see that as a no-cost learning environment. Mm-hmm. So it's thinking along those lines and driving Pullman forward as a community and a keep that charm.
There we go. There we go. I do believe the university does maintain a quite large compost pile.
They do.
Out behind surplus.
They do.
Yeah, that thing's huge. Yeah. And it's always like steam. Well,
and that was one of the questions I had for the person is that there's also, have you done any kind of a study or a feasibility study into if you work with the businesses, how much are you going to produce? Mm-hmm. That's one thing. What are you going to do with it when you produce?
Yeah, and who's going to manage that? Yeah. Transportation.
Oh, what's the distribution? You know, but then think outside the box. Look at, we have a community garden called Copple Farms.
Love that.
What if you did the businesses with the university and provide a compost Copple Farm at no cost or low cost?
So many great collaboration opportunities.
Right.
And I love your vision for Pullman. What is your vision, or what do you feel like the role of city council is in all these things?
Biggest role is to listen to their constituents. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to put that into words because I haven't had enough time to figure out what their main concerns are. The biggest role is to listen to your constituents, mm-hmm. and then make decisions that are research it, and then make decisions that are best for the city. Mm-hmm. Because if you get elected to city council, you may be representing Ward 1, but your decisions affect the entire city. Yeah. And that's part of that all-inclusiveness. You know, it doesn't matter what shirt you wear, what hat you wear, who you vote for, where you shop. Everybody has a place at the table and the decisions affect everybody.
Totally.
So the role of city council is to make sure that everybody's represented.
Yeah. So assuming you do your job well of listening to your constituents, you know, being a good listener, mm-hmm. in the day-to-day, mm-hmm. what do you feel like the job description is of a city council?
To research those issues and present them and discuss with the city council to see what you can and cannot get through. And then the other side of that is to be honest and open about what you can and cannot do.
Okay.
Or why you make a decision.
Where are those guardrails? What do you understand the role of city council to be?
Like I said, I'm a novice on that one. It's to help run the city, to help figure out the budget, to help figure out to help bring in businesses, to work with your constituents for finding out the areas that they need to address, safety, lighting, which streets need to be plowed.
Well, you said run the city. What does that mean to you?
Oh, the city's, there's a lot to running the city.
There is, yes. Yeah. But you said the role of city council is to run the city. What does that mean?
To have a voice with your constituents on mm-hmm. how the budget's divided amongst certain things.
Sure.
How much goes to city? It's not just that the mayor comes out and says, this is the budget, this is what we're doing.
No, the budget is set by council.
Right. And that is to work with your constituents and play a part in that role of what gets funded, what doesn't get funded, and report back to your constituents as to, you know, because just throwing something out there, not that this is an issue, but, you know, if the Grimes, I'll do a WSU thing because we don't have anything. The Grimes Way playfield is number one on your constituents' mm-hmm. mind. And you're bringing it to the city council, and within the budget, they're like, we just can't afford to do it.
Sure.
Then you go back and say, yes, we brought it up. We discussed it. We can't afford to do it. This is why. And that's the other half, is to tell them why the decisions were made.
Yeah.
I don't think enough of that happens, that there's enough clarity to getting back to why a decision was made or why an individual.
Let's replay that, but shift the property for a second, because you mentioned the Grimes Way playfield, which is state property, which means the city council has nothing.
That's why I use that example.
But the city does own parks. We have an amazing park system here and a great parks and recs department.
Right.
And we have playfields that are city owned down by the river.
Right.
You know, so.
Down across from the steam plant.
Exactly. So like, what would you see the city council's role being in deciding policy for that?
That's actually a good question, and figuring out the budgets, how it's allocated, working with the parks department, the actual, like the playfield, one of their maintenance crews is right across the street from them. Mm-hmm. but how much is allocated? What are the projects that need to be
approved,
such as putting in the pickleball courts?
Yep.
That are being put in there.
Those are under construction right now.
Right. Which they're under construction right now, but that didn't just happen because somebody said, oh, we need pickleball courts. I mean, so that's brought to the city council. You have to put it before the budget. You have to to decide. And for instance, that's not in my ward. Am I going to vote for it against it? I think it's good for the city, but it's going to take a majority vote. Yeah, it's going to be a majority vote on the council.
Right.
So I would be, yes, that's something that is good for the city. And it'll be good for my constituents because everybody uses the play fields. So that's the role of city council, is to move the city forward and, you know, help projects move forward and decide on what's good or bad for your area.
Okay.
But not with your own opinion, with everybody's opinion.
I like that. It's a very collaborative way of looking at things.
Right. And that's the main thing. And when you ask me what's the job, is to be collaborative.
Yeah.
And do it respectfully.
Yeah. And the only part that I probe a little on is the phrase run the city, because it's something I keep running into over and over again with candidates and honestly just people in town. Yeah. This idea that once I'm on council, that's the easy button for making Pullman work well.
No.
Because when I'm on council, I can walk right into the staff's office and tell them how it is.
Nope. I mean, when I say run the city, it's that umbrella. Run the city. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, the council has exactly two jobs: to pass laws and to set the budget.
Right.
Right. The implementation of that is done by city staff.
Right.
And you know, I've run into people who are under the impression that once they're on city council, they can walk into public works and tell them to waive fines or fast track inspections.
No.
It doesn't seem like you're on that.
No. When I say run the city, it's exactly what you're saying. I can walk in there and say, hey, we voted on the council and this is your budget for the next year.
Yeah.
And I can't even dictate in what order they do projects. I can give my spin on it and the city council, and that can be adjusted at city council where they can go, hey, you know, A or B, which one do we need to do first?
Right.
And so, yeah, but you're not going in there and going, oh, I don't want you to put a speed. a no parking.
Yeah. City council doesn't get to micromanage city
Appointment
staff.
They run it, but it's not micromanage.
Yeah, well,
you're not doing the minutia.
Well, ultimately you're a deliberative body.
Right.
Right. You're there as a council, 7 seats representing different areas of Pullman, and you're there to have a debate and have a reasoned discussion on very broad topics that then are implemented by a staff that was hired by the city manager, who was hired by the mayor, who was elected by the people. Right. Well, that division of duties, that separation of powers, it's very American.
Yeah, but it's also that when you, like short-term rentals is a good one, they come up with this is how we implement it, and then you can pick that apart and say, well, we don't need to implement
what about that?
Or what's this? So there.
It's a very slow process, but a high impact process.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is a very, should be, collaborative process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to make sure that everyone who gets into those 7 seats is prepared for the tedium of writing good laws, because it's not fast or exciting.
It's not easy.
It's not easy at all.
And
it's very frustrating.
If you've ever read a proposal for a law, I'm sure you have.
I have, yeah.
I mean, If you do it right, you have like 40 documents open, because this one says
a lot of tabs open.
After 2, insert this in this bill on the, what? Hold on a second. And then you're looking for that bill to find that subsection to find out what sentence they're changing and how that affects the main bill.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very, very tedious and very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it needs to be detailed. Yeah. Because it's the devil's in the details, and that's very true.
There you go. Right now, where the people in the community, a portion of the community has been asking for more oversight over the use of certain recreational explosives on College Hill. interesting, Venn diagram of jurisdictions there. Do you feel like that's an appropriate thing to be decided at the council level?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a nuanced one.
Because I can see it on all different sides.
Absolutely.
you want to bring in, I mean, it's been shown in major leagues that pyrotechnics bring in people because of the excitement and stuff like that. I don't know if it works so much at a smaller level as our university. And there's that's another nuance where we sit. All roads may lead to Pullman, but some of them are difficult to travel.
Some of them were dirt roads.
Yes. And I understand with small children and stuff, I can understand it being decided, if nothing else, a better notification system.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like it would be that hard to,
right,
to have a calendar.
Right. Well, not necessarily even a calendar, figuring out another besides just the calendar, because if I got a calendar, I can't remember that there's a game tomorrow.
Sure. I'm far enough to an email list or a text list. Like, FYI, tonight at 8:30.
Yeah. I mean, with when I started running, one of the first things I ran into is vendors. They're
okay
everywhere. I mean, within the first 5 days, I had dozens of emails of people wanting me to buy voter lists, signs, text lists, whatever, from Florida, Texas, New York, the entire nation. So there's ways out there that you can find out who is affected.
Sure.
And do a text thing saying, hey, just a reminder in case you forgot on the calendar, yeah, tonight's a baseball game.
Well, I think that was because you filed. With
the minute I filed. Well, yeah, I'm saying that.
I got a mortgage a couple years ago, and I counted 90 seconds from the time I clicked send to when I started getting the first spam calls for mortgage brokers.
Right. Yeah. So but that tells you that it's there.
Sure.
And they can break it down. And especially with today's technology, they can break it down and saying, these are the people that are going to be affected by Bailey Field,
right,
setting off fireworks.
Yeah.
And just sending out the notification that says,
seems like a very practical solution.
At least a start.
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
Sure.
And see what kind of pushback you get.
Yeah.
Because I think the other side of this is there's just not been enough effective research on it. But then... you're familiar with this phrase, analysis paralysis.
There you go. You
don't want to do that either.
We've never had a problem with that in Pullman.
That's why it's a phrase that everybody knows. Yeah.
So you got all those vendor requests when you filed for public office.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks to me that you have spent an enormous amount of money on your signs.
Yes, I did.
Your signs are adorable, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Are they all hand-drawn?
By my grandkids.
Holy cow. How many do you have out there?
9. I have, signs? 16.
Well, okay.
I have 17 signs out there right now.
17 divided by 9? Okay, that's not a terrible ratio.
Right. Yeah, well, two of them didn't participate because one was not available and one's just over a year old, okay. So.
No excuses. No, it's adorable, but I do have to ask, like, I've never seen a candidate win in Pullman without signs.
I know that.
And I could see somebody reading into that as a lack of seriousness.
And if people ask, I think they're an eyesore. I think signs
are eye-catching.
No, they're not.
No one else has hand-drawn signs.
Well, they're an eyesore. I actually was not even going to put signs out there. Everybody keeps saying you need to put signs out there. And my first response was, I'm not going to, there's too much money in politics. Hmm. And needing donations to buy signs is just, it's against my philosophy of local government. I mean, we don't need any more. I don't need to be funded to run for city council. Because also in some ways, if you're funded, you're beholden. So I wasn't even going to put any out there. And people pushed me on it. I said, well, I made the comment that if I put signs out there, they're going to be drawn by my grandkids. And then I started getting questions. When are your grandkids going to draw your signs? Now I got a different problem. Do my grandkids even like me? So I just went on to Amazon. I bought signs. And they're smaller, too. So I'm part of the eyesore, but I'm a lesser part.
I think it's
so adorable. It was the timing. The reason I was so late is I have 4 kids. One of them lives in Kentucky. There's a reason. It's a story behind that with a blended family and custody and where they could live. And they came for the summer. So, and they have 5 kids. And the ones that live here, we get them all together and we went up to triple play and let them play for the day. And then I had a box of signs and markers and let's go.
Well, it's
and then line. And then I went out and I'm sure a lot of people looked at my nephew who lives in the city, looked at that and he goes, those are really, they don't look as slick as the other ones. I'm like, well, that's true. They don't. And I don't want them to look as slick as the other one because I don't want them to be this mass produced.
Sure.
Thing. And well, the candidates are going to beat me up for it.
I respect your commitment to integrity. That's awesome. Yeah. The reality for me though is that you have a smaller footprint in your campaign than a lot of other candidates, and it's kind of hard to figure out what it is you're running on. And so this is a chance right now.
Right.
What do you want the community to know about your campaign for Ward 1 City Council?
That everybody counts. I mean, that's the number one thing. I will talk to anybody and listen to you and give you an opportunity to make your case. Mm-hmm. And then just know that on my side, that I'm going to research that case. Because like I said, I go back to the compost one. That was at the Pups and Cups thing, it was brought to my attention. And I went home that night, looked up the state laws, looked up the city laws, looked up the county laws, and then wrote them an email. Mm-hmm. And said, I may not win, but here's some starting points for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm running on is everybody counts. And being responsive. And that's because I don't know if you've written any politicians lately, they don't answer. And if they do answer, it's a form letter.
Right.
That may or may not even address the question you asked.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that I'm running on. And it's, as you said, it's an integrity thing. And that's not having an agenda. I'm not going in there to say, oh, this is Adam's idea, but I'm going to put my spin on it and make it mine. No, it's the constituents. So that's what I'm running on.
Awesome.
And part of that is pulling back and not getting into the machine. And the vendors showed me the machine really fast.
Yeah.
And just touching base with you because you didn't answer my email. Oh, you told me no, but have you rethought? Yeah, I mean, it's some of them I've gotten 10, 12, 15 from after I told them no.
Wow.
And so it's yeah, that's why you don't see that big sign, plethora of signs
hey,
all over.
You heard it here. Randy Cross, not part of the machine.
There you go.
Well, as we wrap up here with our road to Pullman, what do you think the future looks like for our community? What do you hope Pullman looks like in 10, 15 years?
That's a good question. I wanted to see a lot of but the way it is as far, you know, because I go back to the charm, and I know I keep repeating myself, but it's I want it to stay a clean environment, a healthy environment, a welcoming environment. I want to see the businesses thrive.
Yeah.
I want to see us do a better job of being a single community. Bringing the city up on the hill and the hill down to the city. The university more intertwined so that they're working not just working together, but people are flowing and doing business back and forth a lot easier. And there's just a joy that I feel when I live in Pullman that just permeates the entire city.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you.
Wish you best of luck.
Thanks.